The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Life-changing radio.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Can I ask you a favor? I don't ask you many favors, but can I ask you a favor? Don't drag Jesus into your politics. Don't do it. Don't do it. Every election now for many years, we have, how would Jesus vote? That is the dumbest thing on planet Earth. How would Jesus vote? I got news. He wouldn't vote.
Well, you mean, well, if Jesus wouldn't vote, then maybe we shouldn't vote.
Wait. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. They tried to get Jesus involved in the politics of the day, and he said, nope, I am not a part of this kingdom. So this thing, how would Jesus vote, is just ignorant. And by the way, it's unscriptural. Jesus would not vote. Now, I suppose if it was mandated, he would, because he paid his taxes, rendered to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. That was required. It was a necessity. It was illegal not to pay your taxes, so Jesus did. But even when he did that, he used it as an illustration. I am not a part of this world. I have another kingdom. I am the head of another government. So It turns my stomach when people try to drag Jesus into politics, whether it's on the Republican side, Democrat side, conservative side, liberal side. Leave Jesus out of your politics. Well, I wish the folks at Sojourners and Vote Common Good. Yeah. Since I'm on the email list for Jim Wallace and the Sojourners, I'm also on the email list for Vote Common Good, because this is an outreach of the whole social justice thing from Sojourners. So every couple of days, I'm getting a new email. This one today. Join us on the Wake Up, Speak Up, Stand Up National Tour. Faith, hope, love for a change on Election Day 2020. VoteCommonGood.com. And by the way, if you want to know what the liberal religious left is doing, sign up for Sojo Mail with the Sojourners. I encourage you to. You need to know what they're doing. And go to VoteCommonGood.com, and you can sign up for all of their newsletters and so forth. Anyway, it says, we at Vote Common Good, we are all about faith, hope, and love. And we believe that that will be the power for a change on Election Day. We know that we are a vocal, active alternative to the policies and actions of the Trump administration. Yeah. See, if you believe in faith, hope, and love, you will never vote for Donald Trump. Who will you vote for? Well, anybody else. You mean a socialist that will drive the country into the ground economically? Yeah, as long as it's not Trump. You mean someone who advocates the killing of innocent unborn babies? Yeah, as long as it isn't Trump. You mean somebody that advocates the total redefinition of marriage in spite of what God clearly teaches? Well, yeah, as long as it's anybody but Trump. And then it goes on. We know that we are called to love like Jesus did. Did I mention, don't bring Jesus into your politics? Don't tarnish Jesus with earthly politics. He was not of this world. He has another kingdom. And then it goes on about loving families, not separating them. That means welcoming those who are feeling for their safety, not deporting them. In spite of the fact that the whole Old Testament was filled with walls and principles for immigration. The way the liberal left twists and turns and perverts scripture. And then here is, well, let me get to the crescendo of this this email. This love, radical, progressive, agenda-driven, you know what? We agree. We want to radically love those who have been marginalized. We want to walk alongside them as we make progress for the common good. We do have an agenda, one of a government that cares for everyone and includes everyone. The unborn? Nah. The innocent? Nah. Conservative Christians? No, because they're hate-mongering bigots. They shouldn't have any freedom or liberty, and, well, those unborn babies. Anyway, it goes on and says, we were tagged in a simple tweet that actually had a very profound message. All right, get ready to get your barf bag. You know, if the last time you flew, if you took the barf bag out of the front of the seat, I hope you've got one. If not, get something. It says, a Twitter user asked people to say in one word, why are you voting against Donald Trump in 2020? How did a Twitter follower of ours respond? Their one word was Jesus. Gag. A Twitter user asked people to say in one word why you are voting against Donald Trump in 2020. How did a Twitter follower of ours respond? Their one word was Jesus. I think it is absolutely despicable to try to use Jesus to make your political point. I think it's disgusting. I think it is despicable. I honestly think it verges on blasphemy. I really do. I honestly do. To lower the Son of God and God Himself, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Jesus who created this entire universe, to lower Him and make Him part of a campaign slogan so that you can defeat some guy you don't like. It goes on to say, what we say is that we are flipping the White House because of our faith, and we mean it. We believe that Jesus, once again, using Jesus for their political gain, we believe that Jesus called us to love. We believe that Jesus loved everyone, not just those in power. And then you come to the ultimate reason for this email. The ultimate reason for using Jesus. You ready? The ultimate purpose of this email? donations. Will you join us? Donate $25, donate $50, donate $100, donate another amount. They are using Jesus not just for political gain, but their own financial gain as well. That is utterly despicable. But my friend, that is the religious left. You twist and pervert scripture for your own purposes, and you use Jesus to raise some money. VoteCommonGood.com. That's the website. And we'll return.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, we haven't dipped into the absolutely worthless information file for a while. I don't know whether this will encourage you or cause you to be filled with uncontrollable envy. Do you ever watch Antique Roadshow? Joy and I watch it every once in a while. I haven't watched it for quite a while, but I enjoy it, you know? I mean, and of course, the climax is always somebody went to a flea market and I bought this painting for $15. Oh, this is a rare masterpiece that the art community had thought had been lost to time and eternity. And that painting that you paid $15 for is worth $1.6 million. You know, all right, that's an extreme. But it's not unusual for someone to buy something at a flea market or a yard sale for $15, $20, and it turns out it's worth, you know, $30,000, $40,000. And again, and I guess this says a little bit about your spiritual condition and mine as well. Do you respond with, I am so happy for that person? That is wonderful that they are blessed with that financial windfall. That's just great. Or, how come that never happens to me? Oh, I'm not going to tell you how I usually respond. Anyway, here's the story. I don't know whether you read about this. This happened in France, actually. An individual in France went to a French flea market. And on the table in this French flea market was a box of coins. And there were coins and medals and so forth. Let me read the story to you. The seller had a cookie box full of coins and medals for sale, and while the buyer was looking through it, the seller pulled out another box of coins with this coin on top. The buyer, unfamiliar with this piece, asked a price, and the seller said 50 euro cents. That's about a buck. The coin was purchased, and the new owner later Googled continental currency and 1776. Yes. Bought it for actually 56 cents. In American money, 56 cents is what he paid. And he looked at all of the coins and medals and all that, but this one caught his attention. Said, how much is that one? In an American dollars, 56 cents. It is actually a continental coin that was minted in 1776. Quote, the rare coin, which is made of pewter, contains three rings, which led the buyer to inquire about his purchase. The center ring, a sundial, has sun rays and rings, and reads, mind your business. The next ring features Fujio, and the sun, and the last says continental currency. On the opposite side is the design of interlocking chain links of the 13 colonial states. And two separate rings. One reads, "We are one." The other reading, "The American Congress." All right. Well, the owner thought, "I think I may have something special," and began investigating, found a coin dealer here in the United States that would authenticate it. So he shipped it to the United States to a coin dealer who has indeed authenticated it, and the estimated value is $97,500. Yeah. It's the real deal. He paid 56 cents, and it is valued at $97,500. Why doesn't that ever happen to me? I have a box of my dad and I, when I was probably, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old, my dad and I started collecting old coins. And we didn't collect that many, but there was a 3-cent piece. I don't know whether you ever knew, but there were 3-cent pieces coined here. Had a 1912 Indian head nickel that's in excellent condition, and put it in a box. After my dad died several years ago, my mother said, "Hey, there's these box of coins that you and your dad collected. Do you want them?" I said, "Yeah, of course." And so I thought, after all these years, because again, we collected these back 60 years ago. And I thought, in all this time, I have a fortune. Well, I started looking up all the coins. The whole box is probably worth about $100. Yeah, those things never happen to me. Anyway, be thankful in all things. Have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.